Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amabet at the Mishnah. A lot of the stuff we're going to do today we've learned already, or parts of it, and parts of it we've maybe learned parts of it, and we'll reference things that we already know, so it's good. We're finally in the swing of Yavama that at this point, oh yeah, we saw that before. It's easier. Arba'a achim nisuin arba nashim vametu. Four brothers are married to four women, and they all die. Okay, the assumption here, we're going to see immediately that obviously there's more brothers than just this four. Okay? Im ratza hagadol shabahem liyabem et kulam, harishup biyadeh. Okay, so now, if the oldest of this group of brothers wants to marry all four wives who died, all four wives whose husbands died, okay, here, obviously, they're not sisters, right? We're talking about four brothers marry a bunch of sisters, and let's say there's another four brothers. So, if one of them decides, I'm going to do yibum to all these women, harishup biyadeh, he's allowed. Okay. We're going to get into a little bit in the Gemara what might be the issue. And okay, Misha Hayana Soy L'Shtei Nashim Umet. Okay, this is a very basic halacha that it's funny they're saying in the Mishnah now because we know this to be totally obviously true. If you have two women and you die, Biata O Chalitzata Shalachat Mehem Poteret Sarata. Right, all you do is you do yibum with one of them or chalitza with one of them, and the other one is free to go. Right, she can marry anyone she wants. The mitzvah of yibum, basically, in other words, this Mishnah is saying the mitzvah of yibum falls on one of the two wives, right? Or one of the three, or one of the four, it doesn't matter. In other words, the first halacha is talking about there's a mitzvah of yibum on each individual brother, right? If the man dies, so each one needs yibum. But if there's many wives, okay, then each man only needs one yibum for whatever many wives he had. Okay, so only one of them does it. It's interesting today, right? This is a basic assumption. We know this to be the fact from the beginning. The Gemara is going to somewhat question this basic assumption a little bit. Hayta achat ksherah v'achat psula. This we also learned. What if one was a grusha from a previous marriage, and one is a perfectly good woman who's not pasul l'kuhuna at all? Okay, one's pasula l'kuhuna because she's a grusha or she's a chalutza or, right? Something made her pasul l'kuhuna. If she is, there's one ksherah and there's one psula l'kuhuna, im haya cholet, if he decided to do chalitza, then which wife should he do chalitza? Which wife should he do chalitza with? Cholet la psula. So is not a pasul another perfectly good woman, right? This good woman is able to marry a kohen, and now he's going to end up doing chalitza to her, and she'll be pasul l'kuhuna. So therefore, if he plans to do chalitza, he should take the one who's already psula l'kuhuna and not mess up someone who's perfectly good to marry a kohen. But if he's going to do yibum, he could do yibum to whichever one he wants. It doesn't matter. It's not like you're saying, it's interesting. We didn't actually talk about this last time, but it just popped into my head. What would be the theory? Why would you even think you'd have to say the salacha? Because in theory, maybe you would think if you would do yibum, you're going to leave one woman to go out into the shuk to get married, and this one you're taking care of. Right. So maybe you would think, take care of the one who has a psul on her because yes, she won't be able to marry Cohen. But they're saying, no, if you're going to do the mitzvah of yibum, you're not messing anyone up, you're just throwing her back into the shuk, right? But if you're going to cause someone to be pasul, that already, don't cause someone to be pasul if you don't have to. Arba'a achim, salkadatach. And that is, what does it mean? How could there be four brothers and then they all die? Then there'll be no one left to do yibum, right? This is questioning what I said. You have to understand this mission doesn't mean there's only four brothers, okay? Ela'ema arba'a me'achin. In other words, four of the brothers, their wives died, and that's what we're talking about. Okay, so you have to understand, right? Why would the Gemara even question this? Because if you remember, all our other Mishnayot are set up with four brothers marry three sisters and one nachrid, and they give you the whole setup of the entire family structure in most of the Mishnayot. This one only gives you just four brothers, plain and simple, right? And really, it's four out of five or six. It has to be actually more than five because the whole idea is if one of them wants to do the yibum for all the wives, he's allowed to. Okay, so now we're on this concept that if there's four brothers married to four sisters and there's really another, let's say, four brothers, there's eight brothers married to a whole bunch of women, not sisters, sorry, I might have accidentally said sisters, they're married to women. Four of them die. One of the brothers decides, I'm going to do yibum to all those four wives, he's allowed to. Now they're going to talk a little bit about this number four. Is this number four magical? Only four? Why'd they pick four? Okay. So first, the Gemara is going to ask like this. Harishup biyadeh, they're going to question what the Mishnah says. Okay, we're at the fourth line of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Bishavkele, they really allow him to marry four wives? Like, what a crazy thing, yeah? The Hatanya, doesn't the Braita seem to indicate that we can't do this? Now, where does the Braita indicate this? For here, this is why I brought you the psukim on the... Okay, let's just look at the psukim before we look at the Braita. Okay, so here we have our psukim about Yibum. Tvarim perakapei pasukei. These psukim should be familiar at this point, right? You can't go marry some strange guy. The yabam has to have sex with her. Here we learn that the mitzvah is dafka to have sex with her. And he takes her to a wife, v'yibma. This pasuk we said, remember, it's very confusing. Who's the bechor of the new marriage, or the bechor we ended up referencing to say that the mitzvah is the bechor of the brother of that family, and yakum al shem achiv, right? Because that's why it's achiv and not his father, right? That the brother does the yibum and will make the baby be in the name of the brother. And we said yakum al shem achiv ameit really means the nachala. Right, it's all about the nachala, and he gets the nachala. We questioned that assumption the other day, right? What if he doesn't have nachala? Maybe there's no mitzvah yibum. Then they said, no, 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 that's not the case. But yet, it is dependent on nachala. Below yimachesh shmo miYisrael. Okay, now we get to chalitza, our case. V'im lo yachpot ha'ish lakachat et yivimto, v'alta yivimto ha'sha'ara eles kenim, v'amra. This is what I didn't have in front of us the other day. Here's the text that she's supposed to say. Remember it said, and she reads the psukim from the Torah. Okay, the Yabam does not want to be Mekim, his brother's name. He's not interested. Okay, so now this Kenim call him and they speak to him. Now, what's interesting is our Gemara, or the Braita we're going to see, takes this to indicate... Right, it's really talking about a Yibum case, our Mishnah, right? But they're going to quote these psukim that are relating to Chalitza. Okay, we'll see this in a minute. So this Kenim call him and they talk to him. These are the words that they're going to darshan. Right, we don't know what are they talking to him about, right? Va'amad va'amar lo chafasi lekachta. And then he says, I don't want to marry her. V'nikshay yivimto elav le'nez Kenim v'chatzana alome al raglo v'yarka b'fanav v'anta v'amra kacha yaseh la'isha shelo yivnet beit achiv. Okay, it sounds like, right, kacha in Purim, right? Yes, very interesting. Yes. And she says, this is what should be done to the man who doesn't, is not boneh beit achiv. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beit chalut hanal. Okay, we're going to darshan this pasuk also today. His name is now called the beit chalut hanal. Okay, what's going on here? The Bright is going to say, there's some conversation going on here that the psukim don't talk about. Conversation that goes on between this kenim and the guy who's going to do Yibam or Chalitza. Bikarulo zikne iro. The first drasha is going to be Hein velo shluchav. They have to speak to him directly. They can't send a shaliach. V'dabru elav milamed shemisi'in lo etza hogenet lo. They advise him. Should you do Yibam? Should you do Chalitza? They give him some advice here. She'im hu haya yeled v'hiz kena. Okay, if he was a child and the woman's very old, or he was old and the woman's a child, omrim lo malacha etzel yada, malacha etzel skena. This isn't an appropriate relationship. Okay, very interesting, right? Kalech etzel shekemotcha. Go find someone your own age, right? Go find someone who's more appropriate for you. Va'al tasim ktata bebetecha. Don't create, and here's the important line, don't create a situation where there's going to be tension in your household. Okay? So what do you learn from here? Okay, imagine your families. You have siblings, right? Could you imagine? God forbid, right? All the brothers die. All the wives fall to Yibam, to one, right? One guy marries all the sisters-in-law. Could you imagine what kind of a situation that would be? Okay, right? Imagine all these sisters-in-law now living together in one house, right? Very complicated, okay? So it would create tension. So therefore, now what... I'm talking, the way I'm giving the example is more like tension, right? How could these people, especially, right, sisters-in-law, get along, even if you get along really well, right? It's hard to imagine living in the same house as your sister-in-law with the same husband. So, but really, what's going on here are two things that the Gemara is going to relate to, although one of them, they maybe just reference, and one they say explicitly. There's two issues about marrying these four women, okay? One issue is financially, can you support all these women? Okay, in which case, if you can't, it's going to be a very difficult, tense situation in your house. Number two, can you provide sexual relations to all these women? Right? How can you possibly be there for each of them? Okay, so now they're going to say, lo tzricha de'efsharle. It's talking about a case where he can handle it, okay? He can handle marrying the four wives. I think the assumption here is that financially he can support them all, okay? So if finances are not an issue, then it's okay. So then they say, if that's the case, afilu tuvanami, then it should be more than four. Why did the Mishnah only give a case of four? So the Mishnah, they say, Eitza Tova Kamashmalan. The Mishnah is telling you Eitza Tova. Like underneath, you know, if you read between the lines, they're saying, don't go over four wives. That's, even if you can handle it, four is enough. Why? Dalet in tfeilo. Tfe means more. Okay? Four, yes. More than that, no. Kihecha denim tie ona bechodesh. You should at least be allowed to, you should have time to be with each woman once a month. Okay? Now, what is this based on? This is based on the Gemara that talks about the Talmidei Chachamim shouldn't be with their wives like Tarnagolim, and they should only be Pokerotam once a month, once a week on Erev Shabbat. And based on that, they're saying, so if the man is going to be like a Talmid Chacham and only be with his wife, you know, only have sexual relations once a week, so here this gives him, each woman gets her once a month. Some people connect this dafka to their period. In other words, when they go to the mikveh, so he should at least be able to be with each one of them when they come out of the mikveh, you know, and once a month. Okay, so that's why they say four is the number. Okay, obviously you can read this Mishnah. The Gemara reads it very literally that the four is a magic number here, right? That's the number, not more than that. But the Mishnah could have just been giving a random example, right, and just sort of saying any case that if it were a lot of people, he'd still be allowed to. Again, harishupi ado doesn't necessarily mean this is advisable. Okay, now Misha Hayanasui. Now we're going to the second case in our Mishnah, which was our obvious halacha that we've been basing everything on that we've been learning. If you're married to two women and the guy dies, only one of them has to do, right? You have to do yibum or chalitza with only one of them, and then the other one is p'turah to go out in the shuk. So now, like I said before, when we learned the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to question this assumption. B'niyabim l'travayu. Why don't we do yibum to both? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kran. Here we're going to darshan the psukim. Asher lo yivne et beit achiv. Bayit echad hu boneh ve'ein boneh shnei batim. Okay, they learn it from the Torah. It says, right? Asher lo yivne et beit achiv. He has to be boneh, right? This is the opposite, right? If he's not boneh, we learn from here, he needs to be boneh, the bayit of his brother. What does that mean? Bayit means one, okay? He has to be making the brother. It doesn't matter that he has two wives. It's only one. V'nachlotz l'travayu. Okay, fine. So you can't be boneh shnei batim. You can't do yibum twice, okay? And we also know, right, yibum, if we're going to matir it, obviously, right, then you're having an issue of esharach, and it's more of an issue of karet, right? If once there's no heter, so you can't allow it. But maybe we should do chalitza. V'nachlotz l'travayu. Maybe in a situation where there's two wives, you shouldn't do yibum at all. Maybe you should just do chalitza to both. And then you're not being boneh, so there's no issue of being boneh beit achiv shnei batim, because you're not being boneh. Amar zutra bertuvia, amar kra. No, not just by the yibum pasuk does it say bayit, but also by the chalitza pasuk. Amar kra beit chalutz hana'al. Right? We call you the house of the chalutz hana'al. So even though the house here doesn't refer to the house he's not building, but, I mean, it sort of does, right? It's saying he didn't build the house. I guess that's really, right? It kind of seems to be referring to his house now, but they say here, again, the word bayit appears in singular. Bayit achad ucholetz ve'en cholet shnei batim. So now they say, okay, well, you can only do yibum to one house, you can only do chalitza to one house. Well, why don't we give this pitaron? Niyabim l'chada v'nachlos l'chada. Let's do yibum to one and chalitza to the other. So this we learned already. Amar kra, im lo yachpots, ha chafetz yibem. Kol ha'ole li'yibum, ole l'chalitza. Kol she'en ole li'yibum, en ole l'chalitza. We've seen this a whole bunch of times. That when there's no potential for yibum, you can't do chalitza. So in this case, what do we learn here, right? Because it says, when do you do chalitza? If you don't want to, right? That means that you had the choice and you decided not to. So here, it has to be that you have the choice to do yibum. In this case, we just said, you don't have the choice to do yibum to both. So you can't do chalitza to the second one, right? Assuming you do yibum to the first, right? You have two women here. Once you do yibum to the first, right, you can't do yibum to the second. If you can't do yibum, then what do we learn? You can't do chalitza. Okay, so the question was, right, why don't we do chalitza to her after we did yibum to the first, so you can't.
Yeah. Another question. Mm-hmm. Once she does yibum with the first wife, does the second wife
gain the status of being a tzara, or there's no connection?
What do you mean? Does she gain the status? She was a tzara. But now she's mutar to go out in the shuk. She was a tzara. They were both married to one guy, right? She was the tzara, or one was the tzara of the other. He chooses one now.
Yeah, I would guess I was thinking of a case where it's four brothers and the four brothers die.
Oh, so we're past that case, right? Right, this is a case of just one guy with two wives.
Okay.
Right, we're jumping because the Mishnah jumped.
I'm not
but you still have a question?
Yeah,
if there were four wives and that he marries all four...
And he does Yibum.
He does Yibum to all four. So now they're tzarot of each other.
Okay, that's right.
My sense is that the word tzara, right, it's like saying, where do you live in Ranana? You live on the other side, right? Like, we live on this side, they live on the other side, right? It's all relative. Everyone is the tzara of everybody else. It's not like there's one, it's not like in, you go to these harems and there was the head wife and then there's the sub-wives. I don't think we mean it that way. I think we're just talking about the tzara in relation to the other person.
Yeah,
okay, that was your question. Yeah. Okay. So now, ve'od, we're going to have a second question on this. So number one, if she can't do yivum, then she can't do chalitza. Right? It's not an option. Number two, ve'od shelo yomru. We don't want people to think, bayit mitzato banoi u'mitzato chalutz. We don't want people to think that in any situation when you have two wives, you're supposed to do yibum to one and chalitza to the other. Because we don't want, if we were to allow this situation, people might get confused and think that that's what we're supposed to do. So now we had this exact sugya before. The Gemara is going to say, v'yomru, so what if that's what they think? Who cares? In other words, we've talked about this before. There's no harm in doing chalitza if you're not supposed to do chalitza. It doesn't hurt. So then they say, no. Because id miyabe bahadur chalitz hachinami. You're right, that if they do it in the order of yibum, the first one, then he does chalitza, then it would be okay. But ela dilma chalitz bahadur miyabim v'kamle below yivneh. But if he were to do chalitza first, if they were going to confuse the order, right? If people are going to think, oh, you could do yibum to one and chalitza to the other, they won't necessarily remember that it has to be in the order of yibum and then chalitza. And if they end up doing chalitza first, what's going to be the problem? Yesh, the isur of lo yivneh. Remember we said, if you decide not to do yibum, okay, and you do chalitza, so let's say he does chalitza to the first. So that's basically deciding I'm doing chalitza. Once you do that, you have an iser, asher lo yivneh et beit achiv, which we learned to mean that there the pasuk is describing because he didn't do it. But it's using the plural form, yivneh, which teaches us that there's an iser lav, that once you didn't build the bayit, you did chalitza, it's asur liyabim. You can no longer have the option of doing yibum. So therefore, if they were to misunderstand and do chalitza first and then yibum, it would be asur. There would be a lav there. It would be a real problem. Okay, so fine. So they say there's two problems, right? Number one, kol olel yibum olel chalitza, this woman is not olel yibum. Number two, we don't want people to get confused and think that ideally speaking, you're supposed to do chalitza and yibum because people will get confused and think that you could also do chalitza and then yibum instead of yibum and then chalitza. Ve'ema ki'i kachada. Now, why don't you suggest, and this is obviously going to go against everything we've learned until now, if it says bayit in singular, that maybe ki'ika chada, if there's one wife, titkayim mitzvah yibum, v'ki'ika tarte, but if there's two wives, lo titkayim mitzvah yibum. It's a very strange assumption, okay? Maybe if there's two wives to this guy, well then there's no mitzvah yibum, because maybe how do you determine? And it's unclear exactly why they're raising this, although you could just say that they're, in general, this Gemara is raising all sorts of questions. Often the Gemara raises questions because they want to just show us the answer. They want to show where they get the answer from. Okay? So now they're going to say, why can't it be that way? So now they're saying, that's a crazy thing to say. Because, im ken, sarat erva de asar rachman alamali. That doesn't make any sense. Because if you're going to say that when there's two wives, there's no mitzvah yibum, then why did the Torah have to specifically tell us, remember, ki tikach, what is it, ki isha lachota litzror. Remember we said, what does that teach us? That her tzara is also isur erva, right? Not just a woman is isur erva, the erva. Remember, if you have two wives, and one falls to yibum, and she's erva. So the tzara is also ptura, because also the tzara he can't marry. He can't marry the tzara of an erva, someone who's erva to him, and she's married to some guy, and there's a second wife to that guy. He's not allowed to marry that tzara. So why would the Torah need to specifically tell us that tzara is also pratur from yibum? Because if any time there's two wives, there's no mitzvah of Yibum, well, then obviously the tzara is going to be patra from Yibum because there is no Yibum when there's two wives. You follow? In other words, they're saying, what kind of, if this assumption was true, then all these halachot we've learned would have been irrelevant. The whole halacha of the tzarat erva being ptura also. Right? A guy marries two wives. One is erva to his brother when he dies, right? He dies, she falls to Yibum to the brother. The woman is Isur Erva, so also the second wife is ptura. Both of them go free, right? That was the whole first Mishnah. Hein v'tzarotehen v'tzarotzarotehen are all pturot. So if that's the case, there would be no reason to be machanish that, right? Lamali. Hashta shtayim ba'alma amarta la b'nei chalitza v'yibum ninhu, right? If two wives in general are ptura from yibum, so tzarat erva mebaya, why would you even have to bring in the case of the tzarat erva? So then they say no. You can't actually say this. Why? What would you have said? In a case of two wives, normally, maybe there really is no Yibum, okay? But in a case where there's an Erva, what would you say? Alama lo, why not? Itzdrich, you could say kacha. I needed this case. Why? Saka da tachamina, Erva abarai kaima, v'titiabim tsarata. Normally, okay? Normally, in a regular situation of Yibum, the guy's married to two women, okay? He dies, both women fall to Yibum. What did we just say? Maybe there's no Yibum at all in this case, okay? Now, they said, but wait, if you have a case where she, okay, one wife is Isur Erva to his brother, so when he dies, she's out of the picture, right? And we have this whole thing about the tzara also is ptura, and they can both go get married without doing anything. So they said, what's the chiddush in that? Hooray. Any kind of situation where there's two wives, there's no Yibum. So they say, no, here, what might you have thought? That the tzara is abarai. She's out, okay? Bar is chutz, okay? Like wild. She's out, okay? She's out of the picture entirely. And therefore, it's like as if he has only one wife. And therefore, they'd have to teach you the tzara of Yibum would be ptura. Okay, the tzara in that case, I'm sorry, the tzara in this case of the erva would be ptura, even though maybe you would have thought she'd be, because there's only one, okay? Okay, so now... So therefore, that's not a good reason. So now we have to say, why isn't this the case? So now they say, Kamashwalan, okay, Kamashwalan Tasira, Ela Yivimto, Yivimto Riba. The Pasuk says, okay, in Pasuk Zion, look at your Pasuk again, Im lo yachpo ta'ish lakachat ed Yivimto, Va'alta Yivimto Hasha'ara. Okay, it repeats the word Yivimto, and here we see that there could be a case where there's two Yivamot. Okay, in other words, that includes a case where there's two women. Okay, because there's no reason. We actually learned something else from this, yivim to in the past. But here they're saying that's how we know that it's even when there's two wives, there's a mitzvah of yibum. Okay, and we can no longer question that assumption. Okay, here we get to one of my favorite lines that we already learned twice. Haita achat kshera. Remember, if one is kshera and one is psula, one's already pasula kiuna, she's a grusha from a previous marriage. So if you're going to do chalitza, do it with her and don't do it with the other wife who's totally kshera lakuna because you're going to mess her up. Amr of Yosef, kan shina rebi, lo yishpoch adam me barov acharim tzrichim lahem. And that is, don't mess something up, right? Don't spill out your dirty water, because maybe somebody else will want your water, okay? Somebody else might use it, like it's the recycling line, okay? So basically, don't mess up this woman who's totally kshera, because somebody else might marry her. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamachzir grushato. Here we're going to get into mamzerus issues. Okay, we're going to see that there's a lot of different opinions about what makes a child a mamzer. Okay, we'll read our Mishnah. Then I'm going to give you background. The Mishnah in Mem Tetam with Aleph that the Gemara is going to reference, and then we'll go into the Gemara. Hamachzir grushato. Here in our Mishnah, there's going to be machloket Rabbi Akiva and Tanakama. In the other Mishnah, there's going to be, as you can see on your sheet, a machloket between Rabbi Akiva, Shimon Hatimni, and Rabbi Yoshua. A three-way machloket. Hamachzir grushato, somebody who brings back his divorced wife after she was with another man in between, which is an isur lav, right? It's a sword from the Torah to do that. Nose chalutzato, what did we just say? Asher lo yivne, there's a lav, isur lav, to remarry your chalutza. Hanose krovat chalutzato, someone who marries the relative of his chalutza. This is a bit of a problem in this Mishnah. The Gemara is going to talk about it because this is what did we just say? The krovav, the chalutza we learned a few dapim ago is what? Aser, only midrabanan. Okay, as opposed to all these other cases which are lavim midoraita. Okay, remember we've talked about these different categories. We have arayot that are karet. We have arayot that are mita beitin. Okay, beitin. We have then we have arayot that are isur lav, and then we have derabanans. Okay, so the first two cases in our mishnah are laving. This case is a derabanan. Yotzi v'havlav mamzer. You have to get divorced, and the child born from there is a mamzer. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's shita. Rabbi Akiva had a more inclusive shita of mamzerim. Okay, that even isurei lav. Until now, we learned right. We saw different opinions, and the majority opinion is that it's isur kare. Creates a mamzer. Here we see Rabbi Akiva that even in isur lav, the chachamim amrim ein havla mamzer. Umodim, however, chachamim agree that binosei krovat grushato shahavla mamzer. If you marry a relative of someone you divorced, then the vlad is a mamzer. Why? Because a relative of a divorcee is like a relative of your wife. Remember, we learned that the isur is bichayeha when she's still alive, even if she's no longer your wife. The isur is still there. As long as she's alive. So even though you're divorced, you're still forbidden to marry her relatives. So relatives of your divorced, your ex-wife, also the vlad is mamzer. Okay. Now, what's interesting is it says, chachamim or modim to Rabbi Akiva in this case, where it doesn't even say that Rabbi Akiva talked about that case, right? It's a weird structure. So we have a few weird things maybe together, right? They'll solve some problems, the Gemara is going to say. So first they say, v'savar Rabbi Akiva hanosei krovat chalusato avlad mamzer. How could that be? Exactly the question I said. How could it be? It's only midrabanan. How could he say the kid's a mamzer? So now they say, today you should read the Mishnah, krovat grushato. Okay? It really means the krovat of his wife. Okay? His divorce, his ex-wife. And hachi nami mistaber, here we're going to bring it all together. Tekatane seifa umodim binosei krovat grushato shavla mamzer. Iyamar bishlama, aireba, hainu dekatani umodim. In other words, if we say that the resha, when Rabbi Akiva was talking, he meant krovak rushato, then it makes sense that dekatani modim, right? And they agree in one of those three cases. You follow? If one of the three cases is the grusha, right, the relative of the grusha, the ex-wife's relatives, then when they say, and we agree in the krovak rushato, we just don't agree in the other ones. Okay? Makes sense. Elei amrat lo ireba. If they weren't even talking about krovat grushato, mayumodi, right? It doesn't make any sense. Now they say, no, it could be, you could explain it some other way. You could explain that Rabbi Akiva means krovat chalutzato, but when they say we're modim in this case, what does it mean? Dilma hakamashmalan. Deyesh mamzer michai bekritu. In other words, what do they say? They say, what's krovat grushato? That's isur karet, right? That's your typical case of erva. Your wife's relatives. Doesn't matter whether she's your ex-wife or your regular wife, right? Your wife's mother, your wife's aunt, whatever. All those cases. So now, what are you going to learn from here? That chachamim or modim, that there are mamzerim for chai bekritut. In other words, Rabbi Akiva brings all the chayvei laving and this isur derabanan, which again we're going to have to say, how could it possibly be, right? He's talking about, right, if I have my four categories here. We have kare, mitapetin, lav, and derabanan. So Rabbi Akiva brought cases of lav and derabanan, and he said those are mamzerim. And they say chachamim or modim only in the case of kare that the kids are mamzer. So not to a case that Rabbi Akiva was talking about. Rabbi Akiva obviously would say kare, right? Didn't even have to be said. So that's what they're saying. Rabbi Akiva would agree in a case of a grusha, which is a kare case, that would work. Okay? So now, so they say, ha-katane le-le-kaman. But that, it already says it. Ezehu mamzer, kol sha'ar basar shu. Okay, so I actually said I was going to read this inside before, but I forgot. Okay, I wanted to go to this Mishnah. Okay, now they're quoting from a Mishnah. So they're saying, it doesn't make sense that that's what this Mishnah would be saying, because in a few pages, we're going to get to another Mishnah, which basically says that. What does the Mishnah say there? Ezehu mamzer, kol sha'er basar shehu belo yavo, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says a mamzer is anyone who's an isur lav. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Hatimni Omer, Kol Shachayavim Alev Karet Bidei Shamayim. V'halacha Kidvarav. This is very strange in the Mishnah that this appears, okay? The Mishnah there says, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Hatimni. Okay, I have to assume that it was some later addition into the Mishnah, because the Mishnah almost never says the halacha is like somebody, okay? But anyway, Shimon Hatimni says basically the opinion of Tanakama here, right? And then, I'm not going to, right, it doesn't quote this inside yet, but I'm going to already tell you that Rabbi Yoshua says, if you look at your sheet and the chart, kol shechayavim alav mitah beitin. Okay? There's three opinions. Is it lav? Is it mitabetin? Or is it karet? Which causes a mamzer? So now, what's the question of the Gemara? If our Mishnah here is basically saying that Tanakama says, the Chachamim say at the end of our Mishnah, they're modim b'nosei krovak rishatom, meaning chayve kritut, it already says that explicitly in the Mishnah. The Rabbi Shimon HaTimni says this, and the halacha kedvarav. So that must be Shita Chachamim. So now the answer, now very simply, if you notice, it's not Chachamim there, right? It's just Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. So Dilma kasatim lantana ki Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. That's maybe the Mishnah's telling us here in a stam way that we hold like Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. As they're giving a base opinion to show that when we see Rabbi Shimon HaTimni's opinion, know that we paskin that way also. Okay. Imken, but then we have a better question now. This is a much stronger question. Litni sharchai ve'krito, krovaku shato lamali. Why dafka pick the example of the krovaku shato? There's a million cases of arayot chai ve'krito. If you guys were going to think of what's an arayot chai ve'krito, right, what would you think about? Your mother, right? Like, that would be number one on my list, I would think, right? Like, why would you pick the krova of your ex-wife? It's a very strange one. Elashma mina, aireba, Aireba. Okay, now, one second. Aireba, v'dilma l'olam lo aireba. Right, so one second. So the Gemara is now answering. Go with this line is. Okay, so then the assumption is, you'd have to say then, we're just going back to what we said before, which is that Rabbi Akiva would mean that Krovat Chalutzato is really Krovat Rushato, because there's no other reason that Chachamim would have given this case of, if we want to say, like we're trying to say, the Chachamim were talking about Chayve Kritut, it doesn't make any sense that they would have to bring the Grusha case. Okay, so therefore it must be they're bringing the Grusha case because Rabbi Akiva brought the Grusha case, in which case we're talking about Krovat Grushato, and we're changing the Nusach of the Mishnah like we did in the previous Mishnah, right? Two Mishnahs ago yesterday, right? We changed Le'ares to Linase, and Linase to Le'ares, right? They kept changing all the Nuschaot. Here also we're saying they really meant not Krovat Chalutzato, which is a Durabanan, not the case of Durabanan, that's not a Mamzer, but it's really Krovat Grushato. So now they're going to question that again. They're going to say, V'dilma la'olam lo aireba. Maybe really he wasn't talking about Krovak Rushato Rabbi Akiva, and he was talking about this case of Durabanan. V'ayde detana machzir grushato v'nosei chalutato krovat chalutato taninami krovat grushato. So now they say, maybe, why did they pick the case of all the cases of Kritu? Did they pick the Krovak Rushato case? Because the whole mission is talking about a grusha, machzir grushato, and a chalutza, and he basically just took the case that was similar to the ones being discussed in the Mishnah. So now they say, Ela krovat chalutzato Rabbi Akiva have mamzer. Okay, so now you see, according to this, the krova of a chalutza really is a mamzer. Okay, this Durabanan case, which is strange, right? So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hayu tamad Rabbi Akiva, De Amar kra beit chalutz hana'a, Hak katuv krao beito. Okay, what do you see here? The Torah calls him the Beit Chalutz Hanal. He's the house of the Chalutz Hanal. So what do you see here? Bayit is always considered the woman, okay? The Bayit is the woman. So, right, it's called often in the Gemara, Debitu is his wife, okay? His house. So now, if his wife is called his house, then they call the Beit Chalutz Hanal, they call his house based on her. So what does that mean? That she really is like his wife. So he understands that it's not a Durabanan, the Krovat Chalutzato. The Krovat Chalutzato is really a Deoraita. Okay? Because she's Mida Oraita is considered his wife. And therefore, her Krovim are going to be us. Okay. Now we're going to have a statement of Rabbi Yosef that we're going to deal with for a while. Am Rav Shimon Berebi. Hakom modim b'machzir grushato shahavlab pagum l'kehuna. This is also a sugya that we saw. If you have, so we talked about Yisurei Lav. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Lav is a Mamzer, right? According to Rabbi Akiva, Yisurei Lav is a Mamzer. Okay? Now, what about, according to Chachamim, right? Only Yisur Karet is a Mamzer. According to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni and Chachamim, okay? And the halacha is like him. Karet is a Mamzer. What if you do an Yisur Lav? Your kid's not a Mamzer, but is your kid Pagum L'Kihuna? Okay? Can she not marry a Kohen? If you have a daughter like that, okay? So now, so what do they say here? Rav Yosef says, Everyone agrees that in Machzir Grushato place, Havlad is Pagum Lekeuna. So now they want to know, who is Hakol Modim? Right? Because what do we have, even though we didn't see his opinion yet? We really have three opinions. We have the Rabbi Akiva, we have Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, and then we have Rabbi Yoshua. Okay? So this is Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, and Chachami is Karet. Then we have Rabbi Yeshua as Mitabetin, and we have Rabbi Akiva's moms here. So now we want to know, who are all these people who agree that the Vlad is Pagum Lekeuna? So Mana Komodim, Shimon HaTimni. Da'af agav da'amr Shimon HaTimni ein mamzer mechay ve'lavim nihi de'mamzer lohave pagum miyahave. Okay, in other words, it's true he said it's not a mamzer, but yes, it would be pagum. How do we know this? Mi kavachomer me'almana. We also learned this. What's the kavachomer from the almana? Ma almana lekohen gadol she'ein isura shave bekol. Okay, an almana marries a kohen gadol. That means her Isser is an Isser only for one person in the world, right? There's only a Kohen Gadol she's a sort of Mary. Okay? Bina Pagum. And in that case, even though it's such a limited Isser, her son is Pagum. So Zoshi Isura Shaveh Bakol, like a Machzir Grushato, she can't, right? It's true, it's only to her own one husband, but it's to any, right? It could be a Kohen, a Levi, Yisrael, a Kohen Gadol, anyone. The Isser of Machzir Grushato is Takeh for any man. So therefore, ein odin shebina pagum. Okay. So therefore, in all these other isurei lav that or isurim shavim bekol, therefore they're saying it's a kavachomer. The almana is kala. Her din is right more light because it's only in relation to one human being or one category. Right. There could be a few kohanim gedolim functioning. Right. We learned that in Yoma. That right. There were years where there were right every year a new kohen gadol. So there could be a bunch around. But again, it's very limiting. And yet her son is Pagum. So also by us, the son should be Pagum in any regular lav. But then they say, no, that's not a good kavachomer. You can contradict this. Ikal mifrach. Mala amana shaken ki yatzma mitchalelet. Ve'od hi to'avakti ve'em banah to'avim. There's two. Okay, there's going to be three. We're going to stop here after the second one and I'll explain each one. Question number one. The almana is unique because she herself becomes pagum. What does that mean? An almana marries a kohen gadol, and then let's say he dies. She cannot marry another kohen now. She messed herself up also, and also she doesn't need truma. Like things that are relevant to wives of kohanim aren't relevant to her. Okay? So she has messed herself up. Whereas someone who does an isur lav doesn't mess themselves up lekuna. They're not psulim lekuna. Okay, just because you're machzir grushato doesn't mean, well, a grusha anyway would be, right? It wouldn't be, that wouldn't be a good case. It would have to be a different case of an isur lav. Okay, so that makes her din chamor, okay? And she's no longer kal that we can do a kal v'chomer. And another thing, it says he in the pasuk. It says, that's weird, it doesn't bring the pasuk here. I think it's, what's the pasuk? I forgot the whole pasuk, but the word he appears in the pasuk, which they say he meaning her, but not her children, right? This is in the pasuk of the Machzir Grushato, right? That, where is it? No, it's not here. Okay, fine. I don't have the pasuk, but it's he. Here, you, one second. Yud Amud Yud Alef Amud Bet comes up. Give me one second. He to Ova. Lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shuchal ashuv lekachta liyot lo leisha acharei asher hu tama'a. Okay, this is the pasuk in Dvarim Kaftal Adalid. Ki to'ava hi lifnei Hashem. She is a to'ava. What do they learn from here? She's a to'ava, but not her children. It doesn't pass down. So here you see, that's another reason to say that the banim are not pgumim. Okay, so we're trying to prove it from this kavachomer from an amana. One, we say, you can't make a kavachomer from an amana, because an amana has a din that's more chamor, that she's mitchalelet, and in our case, this woman herself is not mitchalelet. Number two, there's a drasha. He, the pasuk says he. From here we learn, he and not her children. Ve'od, there's another brayta that seems to contradict. Tanya, ha-machzir gushato v'anoseh chalutzato v'anoseh krovat chalutzato. This is our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, this isn't our Mishnah. This is simple, right? They bring the cases of our Mishnah. And what does Rabbi Akiva say here in the brayta? Ein lo ba kiddushin ve'ena tzricha himenu get v'hi psula uvlada pasul v'kofino to lahotzi. Okay, Rabbi Akiva is going to say a whole slew of things. What happens if you do the following things? So number one, there's no kiddushin. Remember we talked about in Isurei Lav, the base position is if you marry someone you're not allowed to marry, the kiddushin or tofsim, if it's just a chayve lavim, okay, there is a good marriage. It's considered like you're married. Rabbi Akiva, who's machmir on the mamzerim issue, is machmir also on the kiddushin tofsim issue. He says if you marry someone who you're not allowed to marry, even a lav, there's no marriage. It's not considered like you're married. So what does that mean? If you want to divorce her, ena tzrichah imenu get. She doesn't need to get a get. She's already considered not married to him. It's like you did nothing, basically. Okay? And that's exactly why your kid's going to be a mamzer, right? V'hi psula, she is pasul. Okay? Meaning, if you marry someone who you're not allowed to marry, the woman herself becomes pasula kiuna. She can't marry a kohen. Uvlada pasul. And her child is a mamzer. Okay, here we're going to see later, what do you mean? He psula uvlada pasul sounds like they're talking about the same type of psul. But one's really talking about pasula kuna and one's pasula mamzer. The Gemara is going to question this a little bit, but we'll see. Bikofin oto lehotzi, and they make him separate from her, right? They're not allowed to stay married. Bechachamim omrim, yesh lo ba kiddushin. If it's only Yisro lav as opposed to karet, right? If it's karet, ain kiddushin tofsim. But if it's only chayve lav, okay, like for example, this machzir grushato, they are considered married. Get, and therefore they need a get. Behik shera, and she can marry a kohen if she wants. She's not psula. Uvlada kasher. Okay, so now what do they assume vlada kasher means here? Leman, lav lekihuna. Doesn't it mean here, just like she is kshera, and the vlada is kasher, doesn't the kshera here mean the same thing? She's kasher lekuna, and the vlad is also kasher lekuna. And therefore they're raising, this is a third question, on saying that the vlad is pagum. Because why would you say the vlad is pagum? Here it says in the bright, so the vlad is kasher, if it's an Isra lav. So now they say, right, that was our whole question. If you have a lav, chachamim say it's not a mamzer, but it would be pasul lekuna. And here it says vladak kasher. So now the Gemara is going to say, no, they don't mean kasher lekuna. Lo lekahal. Kasher lavo bekahal. Meaning, it's not a mamzer. So then they say, wait, but ihachi, then this mishnah is not parallel, right? Kshera leman, right? Ihachi, hi kshera leman. What does that mean? So ilema lakahal, it doesn't make sense to say hi kshera, right? The assumption is hi kshera vlada kshera means the same thing. So what do you mean? She's kshera lababa kahal? Pshita, right? Mishum dizanya, ipasa lakahal. Whoever said a zonah can't marry anybody, right? Only a mamzer is not allowed to marry anybody. The fact that she married someone who's forbidden to her. Now, while you might think, right, this whole thing is always somewhat problematic to us to understand that she does something terrible and it messes up her child, but it doesn't really mess her up. But that's what they're saying. It's true. It doesn't mess her up. We know that to be the fact. So elalav lekihuna. So it must be for her the hik shera is lekihuna. Umidehi lekihuna vladanami lekihuna. Right? It must be that it means she's kshera lekihuna, and then it must be her vlad is kasher lekihuna. Okay. So the Gemara is now saying, right? Let's just line this up, right? Hik shera uvladak shera. Okay, so the Gemara assumes it must be the same, and the only way to understand this is lekihuna, and therefore the only way to understand this would be lekihuna, and therefore it contradicts what we said before, that the vlad is pasul lekihuna. It's not a mamzer, it's pasul lekihuna, but now they say no, it can't be. So now they say no. Mi di'iria, hakadita, hakadita. It's very simple. You could just say hik shera is lekihuna, and vladak kasher is lemamzerut, okay? Or as they would say, lakahal, right? Lavo bakahal. It's kasher lavo bakahal. So in other words, don't assume the hik shera vladak kasher. It sounds the same, but it doesn't mean that it means the same thing. So now they're going to say, and we can tafka prove it from the resha. Because what did the resha say? According to Rabbi Akiva, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Hi psula, right? Uvlada psula. Okay? Now, how can you explain this? This has to be that what? She's psula lekuna and vlada psula lavo bakahal, because that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that the vlad is mamzer. So they're saying, just like here we're going to distinguish, we can prove it because in the ratio you have to distinguish. You have to say that one is one and one is the other. Otherwise, also Rabbi Akiva doesn't make sense. So let's read it inside. Hachinami mistabra dekatani resha hi psula vlada pasul hi psula leman. Ilema lakahal, again, you can't say that she's psula lavoba kahal, mishum dizanya ipasale lakahal. Nobody says that. Ela lav lakuna. It must be lakuna. Uvlada pasul leman. Ilema lakuna, right? If Rabbi Akiva was saying it's pasul lakuna, the vlad, then that would imply what? That it would be mutar though, lavoba kahal. And Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that, right? We know that Rabbi Akiva holds if it's chayv lav and it's a mamzer. So halakahal kasher and ha'amar Rabbi Akiva hab lav mamzer. So ela pshita lakahal. Umidereisha hakadita v'hakadita sefa nami hakadita u'hakadita. Okay, so now they're saying, since the reisha is a distinction, right? The pasul and pasul doesn't, psula and pasul doesn't mean for the same thing. Also, you say so in the sefer. So we've gotten rid of question number three. But now we're going to go backwards. There were three questions. So question number three we've answered up. That you could, this brayta doesn't raise a contradiction because the pasul could mean, the kshera could mean kshera la mamzerupa pasul la kuna. Okay, now we have to go back to question number two. What was question number two? Hi toava ve'em banah toavim, remember? So it doesn't affect your children at all. Okay, but now what are they saying? No, you misdarshaned it. We also saw this in the past. Hi toava nami, hi toava ve'em sarata toava. Ava banah toavim. Hi toava means she gets messed up, but it doesn't mean that it has any effects on the other wives. Okay, if he's machzirik u'shato, right? It affects her. She can't marry him anymore, but the sometimes the tzara of an erev is a problem, right? Here, the tzara of the erev is not a problem at all. Okay? And therefore, the he comes to exclude the tzara, doesn't come to exclude the children. So you could still say the banar toving. Now, what about the almana? El almana kash, yama almana shaken hi etzma mitchalelet. Right? We still had that problem. The almana is atzma mitchalelet. So you can't make this kal v'chomer. So in the end, right, we wanted to say, just like in Almana, the Bana is Pagum, also here the kib is Pagum. But then we say, no, we can't learn it from Almana, because Almana has something unique, the Hiyat Mamet Chalet, which doesn't apply here. So therefore, how could you say here the Vlad is Pagum? Ela Iyatmar Hachigitmar. So now they basically say, because of that, we have to reject Rav Yosef. Okay, so even though we've answered up all the other questions, the first question we couldn't answer up. So now we say, instead of what Rav Yosef, right, we have Rav Yosef saying, Hakom modim b'machzir gushato shavlab pagum. Now we're going to read Rabbi Yosef some a different way. Eliyitmar hachitmar. I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm Rabbi Shimon b'Rebbe. Hakom modim b'ba achay v'kritut shavlab pagum. Okay. Everyone agrees with chay v'kritut that blad is pagum. Now you might say, what do you mean? Obviously, everybody agrees to that, right? What's the chiddush? So now they say, mana kol modim Rabbi Yeshua da'af agav da'am Rabbi Yeshua ein mamzer michay v'kritut nihi de'mamzer lo have pagum miyahave. Okay, you follow? Now, what are we saying? Rabbi Yoshua said, you're only a mamzer if it's chayvei mito beit din. He didn't think kareit was a mamzer. So what is he saying? He's saying kareit might not be a mamzer, but it does make your kid pasul lakuna. Now, how would he learn this? Now, we're going to go back to the same kal v'chomer. Mehavei kal v'chomer me'almana. Ma'almana l'kohen gadol she'eni surah shaveh b'kol. Bina pagum. Zoshi surah shaveh b'kol. Ein odin shebina pagum. Bechitim, and if you want to ask the question we asked before, umal amana shekeni yetzma mitchalelet, hachanami, this case also, what happens? If you marry someone who you're not allowed to marry and it's chayve mita beitin, or you sleep with someone who you can't sleep with, it's chayve mita beitin, hachanami, kevan shabala sa'azona. Okay, in this case, she also can't marry a kohen now, because that's considered a zona according to the Torah. Remember, the kohen can't marry isha, grusha, zona v'chalala lo yikachu. Okay? He can't marry a zona. What's a zona? It's someone who slept with someone who's chayve kritut. Chayve kritut. So since she now becomes a zona, she's mitchalelet. So she's just like the almana in that sense. You can't say the almana is more chamor. So in the end, you can still say the almana is more kal because it's en isura shavah b'kol. And therefore, we can learn to this woman who's isura shavah b'kol, that therefore, and she is also atzma mitchalelet. So because that bana is pagum, also her bana is going to be pagum. Okay.